It's time now for Bucks Blue with your host, Lower Makefield Chief of Police, Joe Kelly, brought to you by Jammer Doors.
And welcome to Bucks Blue, August 2025. Summer is gone. 1490 AM, 107.3 FM, and of course streaming anywhere around the world on the internet. Stephen, today our guest is a Lower Makefield Township police officer, proudly, here on his own free will. Correct, Steve?
This is true, Chief.
As I'm his chief, we need to get that out in the open, that he's not ordered to be here with me. Steve has been a Lower Makefield Township police officer for a number of years, and he's a graduate of the Temple University Police Academy and received his bachelor's degree from Westchester, which I know Mayor Horning, when he comes in shortly, will love. But more importantly, I shouldn't say more important, but more interestingly as well, is he's a professional pool trick shot player. And I'm going to go over some of his accomplishments, and I know it's going to embarrass him a little bit, but we're going to do it anyway. He is a world-ranked player, world-ranked ninth in the Billard Congress of America. He's first. He's the 2025 Masters champion, 2023 U.S. Nationals champion, ESPN World Cup trick shots, Team USA silver medalist, the 11-time tournament discipline champion, a 2023 world champion semifinalist, and multiple other achievements in his craft. He's worked with the Philadelphia 76ers, Harris, Lincoln, Evan Williams, Boscovs, Hewlett-Packard, Santander Bank, Ronald McDonald House Charities, and many, many others. And when he's not doing that, he finds time to serve the public in Lower Mayfield Township. So, Steve, without further ado, you go by the name the Blue Shark, correct?
I do, yes.
Where'd that come from?
So the Blue Shark came from my father. So we were trying to figure out once I came off of my period where I wasn't shooting pool anymore. I took a little break there between jobs once I started part-time and transitioned to full-time. I finally was settled in and picked back up. So I said, okay, this is a different era, a different period. Let's go with a different nickname, something a little more marketable. So I'm talking with my father the one day, and he actually mentioned, what about Blue Shark? Blue being police involved, shark being pool involved. So Blue Shark was a no-brainer. So once I started putting it out there, I got a lot of feedback, and people absolutely love it.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Ben Salem.
Okay, Bucks County guy.
Yep, Bucks County guy, born and raised.
Where'd you work before you worked at Lower Mayfield Township PD?
So my first police job was with the Solbury Township Police Department. I was hired in August 2017. And then shortly after that, I took on another part-time job with the Bristol Borough Police Department in January 2018 for Bristol Borough. So for a while there, I was working with both Solbury Township and Bristol Borough.
What a great background, though, right? I mean, you couldn't find two different styles of policing. You know, you're handling a lot more calls for service in Bristol, right? And Solbury is a lot more community contact.
Absolutely. It was like night and day. A little bit of a eye-opener once I got to Bristol Borough and trying to just seeing the call volume and the type of police calls that we were getting on the daily was definitely night and day. It was interesting.
And what brought you to Lower Mayfield?
Well, I was speaking with the then chief at Bristol Borough, Chief Henry, and I said, hey, Lower Mayfield's hiring, and I did my research and I figured that was, you know, it seemed like a good landing spot to try and get full time. I said, Chief, I'm going to go after this. I said, if I put an application and resume in, I said, would you be interested in maybe helping me out, maybe contacting Chief Caluzzi for me? He said, absolutely. I said, when the time comes, I'll make a call for you. And here we are, close to 6 years later, Lower Makefield Police is where I've been at.
And full disclosure, I met you, I think, for the first time 4 years ago yesterday.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, it was. Yep.
All right.
Yep.
So, yeah, that day
rings a
bell. Steve was the officer that drove me the day of my injury to the ambulance.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I forgot all about that until I got here, and then he reminded me. Unique career path. Tell me how the pool started.
So the pool started back in the day when I was just a young child. We were playing stickball at my parents' house when I used to live there. I was a young kid. We would play stickball in the summer, and then after stickball, we would go to my friend's house who had a pool table. So we would go there to, you know, shoot some pool and stay cool in the AC after playing stickball all day. And he had a pool table, and I really took a liking to it. And at that same time, YouTube was gaining popularity.
Okay.
And other players were posting trick shots on YouTube. So I started taking a liking towards pool, and then with the trick shots on YouTube, I started saying, you know, that's kind of cool, let's try that. So my friend, his name's Jordan, my friend and I, we started shooting the pool trick shots on his parents' pool table, and then we started filming videos. And from there, he actually lost interest in pool. I was hooked at that time, so all I wanted to do was shoot pool.
How old are you at this time, Steve?
I'm 33 years old.
No, I mean at the time you...
At the time
you're getting into pool.
Let's see, I want to say I was maybe 10 or 11 years old.
Okay.
Yeah, I was young, really young.
All right.
So he started losing interest. At the time I was peaking. I loved it. I was hooked. So I eventually convinced my parents to alter their basement and get a pool table down there. And they thought that it was going to be one of those hobbies.
You do it for a couple of months and then you move on.
Respectfully, yeah. Because that's how I was. I was always into different hobbies.
That's the way kids are, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So they thought the pool table would be used for a couple months, and then it would be a good spot to store laundry after that.
Okay.
And little did they know, it's been quite the ride since getting that cheap pool table from Kmart.
So you're 10, 11 years old. Tell me about how many hours a day, like at your peak, when you really developed, you had a talent for this, right?
It really depends. Like right now, the summer's a little quiet, so I haven't been shooting as much.
Okay.
Every other day, I'll shoot some videos, as you see on my website, mm-hmm. stevemarklepool.com. And my Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and everything. So I will shoot the videos. But when it comes to practicing for tournaments, since we don't have a set tournament in the summer, I'm not always shooting as much.
Okay.
But I can say leading up to a tournament, I'm hours on end. Even after coming home from day shift, I try and get some time in after working a 12-hour shift. After night work, I'll sleep a little bit, wake up, get some practice time in. So it really depends on the time frame and what's going on.
Going back still when you're starting this, because this is what fascinates me. If I had to guess, I would have guessed that you had a pool table growing up and you did this at home. This is so fascinating to me that you took this on at a friend's house.
Oh, yeah.
And developed that. When did you know you were good?
After having a pool table for a while, we took that cheap pool table and we eventually upgraded to a better pool table, and I started getting better because I had a better equipment.
Okay.
I was getting better pool cues. I was learning more as my skill set was developing for sure. I want to say 2016 because that's when I eventually worked my way into shooting on a pro trick shot tournament.
Okay.
I was confident enough to go there and say, hey, you know what? I think I can do this. What's the shot book look like? I tried, you know, my first tournament, I ended up coming in last place, but it happens, you know, you gotta start somewhere. But I want to say that was around 2008 was my first event, and I was in Parsippany, North Jersey. Parsippany, New Jersey?
Yep, I know.
Comet Billiards Classic it was.
So, how do you know, and again, this is just out of my ignorance for your sport, but how do you know you're going to be a better trick player than a regular competitive billiards player?
So I put more time into it. So
okay.
I'm still an above average pool player, I would say, but my time that I commit is towards the trick shots.
Okay.
To be able to shoot on, to be able to be good at regular pool and to shoot on their pro tour, they're having two, sometimes three events a month. I wouldn't be able to have a house. I wouldn't be able to have a career. That would have to be my career.
Right.
And I would have to depend on ultimately pool, which is still at the end of the day a bar game. Yes, with the right sponsors and the right tournament finishes,
mm-hmm.
you can make some money. A lot of players do it full time, and that's what they do. But it's a grind. It really is being on the road and staying in hotel rooms. That's the last thing I would want to do. And a lot of people ask me all the time, between you and I, Chief, they say, "Oh, when you quitting Lower Makefield and doing this full time?" I said, "I will never quit Lower Makefield. One, I love it here. Two, pool's too much of a grind to make money off of."
And it's got to be difficult to balance a family and to work. These are basically two full time jobs.
Yeah. Yeah, behind the scenes, I do a lot that people don't realize behind the scenes, because what's so cool about pool trick shots is it's universal. Yeah, you can have a game of nine ball shooting pool, and okay, you make the one, you get good position play for the two, then you make the three. Not everybody appreciates that. With trick shots being universal, even somebody that doesn't understand the game, they see a shot where I'm curving the ball, I'm making 10 balls at once, I'm jumping balls. It's very interesting to them. So I never know what's going to come through my email, and a lot of it has been good stuff. Like even yesterday, I got a quote for a show in New York. It's a grand reopening for a hotel that has a pool table in New York City, and they want me to come out for 2 hours to do trick shots in October. So I look at how much it is a night. it's $1,500 a night for this hotel. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I'm going to, you know, base my quote off of that.
Right, right. Yeah, you got to cover your quote.
I just never know what's going to come through the email, and that's what makes it fun.
Why don't we take a break here, and when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about your other career.
Sounds good.
Insurance can be very confusing and costly. That's why it's very important to choose the right insurance agency. Nottingham Insurance in Yardley and Hamilton is a fourth-generation family-owned insurance agency with over 100 years of experience. They'll find the best policy for maximum protection at the best price. Homeowners, business, life, auto, even flood insurance. Peter Toft at Nottingham Insurance will make getting your policies, including flood insurance, an easy and affordable process. Nottingham Insurance in Yardley and Hamilton. Visit nottinghaminsurance.com or call Peter Toft directly at 215-493-1996, extension 214. That's 215-493-1996. Extension 214. Capital Health's primary care network continues to grow, bringing its extensive option of locations to your neighborhood. Whether you're scheduling a wellness checkup or not feeling well, advanced medicine starts with a Capital Health primary care doctor at locations near you in Mercer, Bucks, and Burlington counties. To find a Capital Health primary care location that's convenient for you, visit capitalmedicalgroup.org. That's capitalmedicalgroup.org.
We gathered real Pennsylvania seniors and asked them how they would benefit from an extra $1,000. Here's what they had to say.
Everything is so expensive these days.
Car expenses, repairs.
My groceries, heating costs.
My medications.
I'm sure I could easily spend $1,000 like that.
Through Pennsylvania's property tax rent rebate program, eligible seniors and adults with disabilities could receive up to $1,000. Check your eligibility and apply online.
Paid for with Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars.
We now return to Bucks Blue with Lower Makefield Police Chief Joe Kelly, brought to you by Jammer Doors.
And welcome back to Bucks Blue, August 2025, 107.3 FM, 1490 AM, WBCB in Levittown, Pennsylvania. And we are in studio today with Steve Markle, who is a pool trick shot champion and also a Lower Makefield Township police officer. And before we went to break, we were talking a little bit about Steve's roots in his billiards. But I want to shift gears a little bit and back up to your roots in policing. Do you remember far back when you first wanted to be a police officer?
So it actually came a little late. So I knew I wanted to go to college for criminal justice. I started my first 2 years at Bucks County Community College. And then
What years were you there, Steve?
I was there from, 2010 to 2013.
Well, you just missed their best professor then.
Who's that?
Their best part-time instructor. I can't tell you who that was.
Oh, boy.
He's no longer there.
Oh, boy. I did not know that you started there. So I was at Bucks County Community College and then went to Westchester University for criminal justice. And part of my, to graduate, I had to do something called a practical, which was an internship.
So we'll get right back there again. What were you thinking about doing when you entered criminal justice? What were some of the thoughts you had?
Honestly, I thought I was going to get into law at first.
Okay,
yeah,
that makes sense.
I've always been interested in law and possibly become a lawyer.
Okay.
So I always had a fascination. So I said, you know what, let me start with criminal justice and we'll go from there. If I have to go back to get my master's, we'll figure it out, you know, over time. But I always thought law would be the path, and then eventually I transitioned.
And then you get into I know a lot of people who have had that same thought. They thought being a lawyer, and then they wind up being police officers. Tell me about this practical.
So I did a 3-month full-time internship with the Bentown Township Police Department.
Okay.
So that's ultimately where I learned the what police do on the daily, exactly, you know, their exact day, what they do. And at the end of the internship, I'm thinking to myself, you know what, I'm definitely going to go the route of becoming a police officer. So shortly after that ended in August 2016, once that internship ended, I ended up putting myself in the Temple Municipal Police Academy.
Okay. And you've had, obviously... you got drawn to law enforcement. You've now worked in Bucks County. I'm an account Ben Salem. You had a great experience there. You've had experience in Ben Salem. You've had experience in Solbury Township and Bristol Borough, and now in Lower Makefield Township. What have you found has been the most rewarding aspect of being a police officer?
It sounds like a pretty typical answer, but I mean, you do have, as a police officer, an effect on people to where you can make a difference for them, because a lot of times people will contact the police for something bad that happened, and you have to talk them through it. I mean, in a way, a big way, you're really a therapist, a counselor for these people when they get there. They called you. They're looking for professionalism and good advice. And for you to get there to be able to try and have an impact on people, I think that's my favorite part of the job, because I like speaking to people. I feel like I have, at this point in my career, the knowledge and skills to really help transition. And at the end of the day, I like to be real with people. I'm not trying to be one of them quote-unquote robot cops where you stick to the book. I'm myself, just as you and I, Chief, are speaking here. I try and be myself with people because sometimes that's what they want. They want realism when it comes to talking to a police officer.
And along those lines, I mean, we've been working together now, I guess, about 4 months. And you know I value that type of policing, right? When the person in front of us is the only person in the world, and we value our community. What has been the most rewarding call you've ever been on? If that's happened yet, have you really impacted that one person where you went home going, you know, we take a lot of losses here in this job,
absolutely,
and this is a win, and those wins carry you, right?
I think one of the biggest jobs that I had in my law enforcement career came in Bristol Borough, and it was back in 2008. It was just past 1:30 in the morning. I was working a night shift, and I went down Old Route 13. Old Route 13 goes from Bristol Borough, and it goes out towards Bristol Township. So typically, as Bristol Borough police officers, we don't always take that route, especially at night, because it leads to the township, and you're just doing a big circle right back into the borough.
Okay.
So for some reason, something told me to go down that street one day. So I go down that street, and I see a black sedan parked on the side of the road. Little odd, so I go to check it out, and I see two young females in the car slumped over, passed out. And I get out, I call it out with Bucks County Radio. I let them know what I have, two unconscious females in a vehicle. So I get up, and long story short, it was two young females. One was 14, one was 16. They had both tried heroin for the first time. They had both overdosed in the car. So after finding that, I, you know, advise the squad, the ambulance, to expedite, come immediately. And another police officer in Bristol Borough, Sergeant Hankinson, he's my backup. So he puts himself en route. I go up to assess. Patient, the female operator, the driver at this point, I believe she's passed at this point. So I go down to the passenger side, and I see, okay, the coloring on her is a lot better. So I end up dragging her out of the car, Narcan and her, starting to perform, you know, emergency, starting to perform, you know, medical help, giving her medical assistance. And at the same time, the Sergeant Hankinson, he gets on scene. He starts working the female driver. Ambulance gets there. They start obviously transporting and to Lower Bucks Hospital. And at the end of the day, both females ended up surviving. And I look at that job because for some reason something told me it's just past 1:30 a.m. There's nobody out. I'm the only car on the road, even in Bristol Borough at that time. It's a weekday. People have work the next day. And I always look at it because if I didn't go down that road, there's a very, 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 very strong chance we would have woke up about 5 o'clock in the morning to, unfortunately, two deceased teenagers.
Yeah, and even 10 minutes, I mean, seconds matter,
it's
right?
Quick, so we know that. Yeah, it happens quick.
You going down the road that people wouldn't ordinarily go down made all the difference. Let's go back to the police academy at Temple. Tell me about what you found to be the most beneficial portion of that training.
You get in the police academy, you get a little bit of everything. I mean, it's obviously the first time you're learning certain topics within the police academy, but I always liked the instructors. I felt like I learned a lot through the instructors because they actually did the job. They come in there with knowledge, and they tell you exactly how it is. They said, okay, this is how the academy is teaching it, but this is how it actually is once you're on the street there. So I think the real-world experience and stories are the best thing I took from the police academy. And actually what I would do is anytime outside of the PowerPoint, anytime an instructor would teach some personal knowledge or something I thought was worth noting, I would turn to the back of every copybook and I would write it down. Even the smallest things, as in even police jargon that I liked. Yeah, even police jargon I liked, how to handle people. I mean, there's a little bit of everything in the back of those books, and I still have them to this day. And it's hundreds of notes just from police chiefs, police officers, mm-hmm. detectives that came in to teach a class. And every now and then I still look back at that, and I think it's cool that I wrote that down. So just like the knowledge that you gain that the normal individual won't ever learn in the police academy.
Excellent. What would you say, now that you've been out on the street for a while, if we could add 2 or 3 days to the police academy, where should we spend that time?
I mean, I guess it would be a police 101. It could be exactly right before you hit the street would be pretty the last days of the police academy. I think a good class would be just general knowledge, not even a topic, just general knowledge. Maybe even obviously what I wrote down in the back of my book there. A little bit of this, talk about why did I write this down? This is why this is important. How it's going to be transitioning from the police academy to an actual police department, getting your field training officer program, and then going from there. I think, again, maybe just off the PowerPoint, police 101 would be a good topic to teach. Somebody comes in for a full day, 8 hours, and just says, all right, here's some knowledge. I've been on the job for a little bit. This is what is actually going to happen.
And for our listeners out there, and there's many who listen to the show monthly that aspire to be police officers, there's others who are police officers, and we have retired police officers listening as well. What resources do you think policing will need in the next 5 to 10 years? Obviously, we're working now with a co-responder mm-hmm. that's been an incredible asset. Some of our technology has improved over the last few years, but where do you see the next breakthrough coming in law? You're out on the street. I'm not anymore as mm-hmm. much. Where do you see our next breakthrough coming?
So you kind of hit it there with our co-responder. Within Bucks County, we have mental health assistants, and they will help with a little bit of everything outside of mental health as well. Since I started this job 8 years ago, I even see an increase in the mental health calls that we're getting. That's only an eight year period, and the volume of calls with mental health is obviously it's increased. So I think that's where we're at right now with police work. Is we really have to have a strong focus on mental health. We have crisis intervention training within Bucks County, which is great. That's a 40-hour class, and then they also do the advanced CIT, which is another 16 mm-hmm. hours, which I just recently was in. And I think those type of classes are important because you got to know how to deal with individuals with mental health. You almost have to put them, every time I go into a call and I know that somebody's in crisis, I try and put myself in their shoes. They're not thinking straight. They're not thinking logical. They're not thinking like I am right now as a police officer. So you really just got to settle in and you have to resort back to your training on how to deal with these people. So I think the future right now with police work is one, dealing with the mental health crisis, and two, as you brought to our police department, community policing, because you have to put yourself as a police officer. You have to. People want to look at you as a person, not just authority, and not just a man in uniform. So I think community policing is huge. And I mean, I got to credit you there, Chief. You've already brought, since you've been here for four months at this point, you've already brought in a lot of community policing to our department in Lower Makefield Township. And I think we're seeing that on the street, because I know residents are coming up to me and saying, oh, yeah, it's great that you have a Facebook now, you have an Instagram, you're more engaging. And that's just 4 months. So I think the future is bright with community policing in Lower Makefield Township.
Well, thank you, Stephen. You've been on a number of those, and I know that's something – I know it's something you truly believe in. It's not something you're there because you think that, you know, the department wants you to be. I can tell you were at the Coffee with the Cop. You've been to some other ones with me. I can tell it's something you truly believe in. Let's shift a little bit into stress management. You have to have a deep understanding of it now. You've been a cop for a number of years. How does that help in both your billiards career and your police career?
So obviously what we, as police officers, we see a lot of crisis. We see a lot of trauma. We see a lot that the normal person will never see in their life. typically. So we do see a lot, and you really do have to learn how to brush it off. There was a few calls early on where, as a young police officer, I'm thinking, oh, man, I have this for the next 25-plus-something years. I have to deal with this. You learn how to brush it off. You learn how to think, okay, this is life. This is my job. This is how I can assist with somebody with a call there. So the stress, you have to learn how to deal with it and with police as a police officer. So you always want to have, I always tell people, you always want to have a hobby. You always have to want to have interest. You always want to have to be doing something. I feel that although I love my job as a police officer, I can't be a police officer 100% of the time mentally. I always need something to go off of. I spend a lot of time, obviously, shooting pool. Some other hobbies include I like to go kayak, and I have a wave runner. I like to go out on the Delaware River. My wife and I are always going to the beach. So you always want something outside of police work to take your mind off of that. Because unfortunately with this career, as rewarding as it can be, it can take a toll on you mentally, especially over a long career.
Excellent. And I couldn't have said it better myself, Steve. Let's take our second break. And we want to come back. I want to explore a little bit more about stress management and about healthy living.
Insurance can be very confusing and costly. That's why it's very important to choose the right insurance agency. Nottingham Insurance in Yardley and Hamilton is a fourth-generation family-owned insurance agency with over 100 years of experience. They'll find the best policy for maximum protection at the best price. Homeowners, business, life, auto, even flood insurance. Peter Toft at Nottingham Insurance will make getting your policies, including flood insurance, an easy and affordable process. Nottingham Insurance in Yardley and Hamilton. Visit nottinghaminsurance.com or call Peter Toft directly at 215-493-1996, extension 214. That's 215-493-1996. Extension 214. Capital Health's primary care network continues to grow, bringing its extensive option of locations to your neighborhood. Whether you're scheduling a wellness checkup or not feeling well, advanced medicine starts with a Capital Health primary care doctor at locations near you in Mercer, Bucks, and Burlington counties. To find a Capital Health primary care location that's convenient for you, visit capitalmedicalgroup.org. That's capitalmedicalgroup.org.
Album Sides is back on BCB. Join us weekday mornings at 11 for Album Sides. We've got great music. Gonna spin some of the best albums of all time. It's Album Sides with yours truly, the philosopher Chris Ermer. Weekday mornings at 11 right here on 107.3 FM and 1490 WBCB. You can also listen live at WBCB1490.com.
We now return to Bucks Blue with Lower Makefield Police Chief Joe Kelly, brought to you by Jammer Doors.
And welcome back to Bucks Blue, August 2025, WBCB, Levittown, Pennsylvania, 1490 AM, 107.3 FM. We are in studio with Lower Makefield Township Police Officer Steve Markle, who is also a pool trick shot champion. And before we went to break, we were focusing a little bit about the police side of Officer Markle's experiences. And we were talking a little bit about stress management. And Stephen knows this is something I try and harp on and focus on and bring awareness to each and every show that we have Bucks Blue about, how difficult this job of being a police officer is. And before we went to break, Steve hit on something that was extremely important. And that is that we can't define ourselves by these positions. We're police officers approximately one-third of our lives. Some of us do it much longer. But we're usually police officers about 25 years of a 75-year life. And of that one-third of our life, we're doing it one-third of that time. So we don't want to define ourselves by one-third of one-third. And healthy living in policing includes hobbies, to which Officer Markle just alluded to. And Steve, you know my son's a police officer, and very, very early on, he had a drug overdose, which was different than yours. He found a young man deceased, and he had a note in his pocket from his parents out of state that said, "You took this first step by going to rehab. We believe in you." And you know, he called me that night and he said, "You've been there. How do we deal with this, right?" And I told him just what we were talking about. The average police officer will see more human trauma in their first 2 years than the average person sees from the rest of their lives, and how he has to channelize that. And so, having known all that, healthy living, do you share that with your rookies when you're training them?
Oh, yeah. At this point, I mean, even in Bristol Barrow as a part-timer, I would get the new guys and say, all right, show them the ropes, show them the barrow. And from there, I learned, okay, I like having a new trainee with me because you can really mold them on how we operate, how a typical police day is. And here in Lower Makefield, we have a bunch of new hires, so I've taken on a new role as a field training officer. Mm-hmm. And I think
we appreciate that very, very much.
Oh yeah, no problem there, Chief. Anything that needs to be done, you know, I'm here for you. So we took on these new officers, and I think it's great because they're working 12-hour shifts with us, and 12 hours sitting in a car with somebody is a long time. So you have a lot of conversations both about personal life and police life. So I think one of the things is we talk about our hobbies.
Okay.
So just recently, I had one of our new guys for a 12-hour shift. And we talked a lot about hobbies, and I learned a lot about him and what he does off-duty, and that happens to be he's a musician. So just as I have pool, he has his music that mm-hmm. he resorts to off-duty, which obviously will help him be a stress management tool there to help him, you know, not think about exactly what he what goes on in the normal, you know, police day.
Absolutely. And many of our younger officers and older officers, for that matter, have hobbies, and that's healthy living. You've been a Lower Makefield police officer for a while. You're a training officer now. What would you tell, or what could you share with the community that they may not know about your daily duties?
I mean, we spoke about it earlier. We are people as well. You know, sometimes as police, we, just like any career, if there's always bad eggs in every career, and sometimes the media takes that and rides with it and puts it on, you know, the news and blast us. And people judge us as, look what this officer did in, let's say, across the country. Don't look at us as, you know, as that one police officer. We have thousands upon thousands of police officers within the United States. That's one bad egg that they're putting and highlighting on the news. Look at us as, hey, listen, we're the people in your community that are, when 911's called, we're going to be there for you. We might know that we're going into, you know, a crapshoot, but mm-hmm. we're going to be there for you because, one, that's our job, and two, that's what we do. We're there to help you. We're there to assist you, and we're there to do anything possible for you. So, again, treat us as not just as police officers, but people that are out 24 hours a day, out there on the streets, helping you, helping your family, helping your loved ones.
On the pool side of the house, you have a very active social media footprint, right?
Yes.
You're on Instagram?
Instagram, yes.
What's your tag on that?
Instagram is Markle, that's Markle, and then Trick Shots, and it's the same for TikTok, Markle Trick Shots. And then Facebook as well, it's Steve Markle-Professional Pool Player.
So I ask you that because I know you're very, very experienced in social media. We've talked offline. You post almost every day. Lower Makefield Township PD is new to social media.
Yes.
We just started on April 1st, but we're growing, I think, by leaps and bounds.
Oh, yeah.
How can we use that social media to combat this unprecedented... I've been in policing 39 years. It'll be 40 years next month. How can we combat this unprecedented recruiting crisis we're in? When I was looking to come into policing, thousands of people would take a test for two positions mm-hmm. or for four positions or for five positions. And now in some towns, fortunately, we're not one of those towns. Fortunately, we still have a lot of very, very, very qualified applicants that come to us. But in law enforcement overall, we did not see that level of, I guess, interest by young people who want to come into the business. Mm-hmm. How can we use that, because you're very well versed in these tools, to bridge that gap to this generation that's looking for work?
So I'm going to hit on two different topics with that. Back in 2020, we had the riots across the country, mm-hmm. the George Floyd riots, and I feel like that was definitely a negative effect on police, just as I spoke about the media putting, unfortunately, that officer hit another officer's on blast for what they, you know, what happened that day in Minnesota. And that was nationwide, and people, future applicants, saw that and what people were enduring. And just in the cities, police officers are out there fighting riots every single day. I think in Minnesota alone, there was 150 plus days of rioting, and that's what the news ended up grabbing onto. So therefore, they're seeing that and they're thinking, okay, I don't want to do that. I'm going to go a different police route. Look what these police are enduring right now. Look what they're getting thrown at. They're, mm-hmm. There's Molotov cocktails being thrown at them. There's batteries being thrown at them. People are in their face screaming. So I feel like that had a negative impact. But the second part of the question would be, how can we bridge that gap with our police department page? I don't want to say just as we are, because we're out there showing that, okay, we're with coffee with a cop. Okay, Lindenhurst Road is closed between this time. Next would be a post with us at the pool, throwing bracelets to little kids and everything. And I think it's showing our social media is showing, again, us as police officers, but people as well. We're out there engaging in the community even when we're not called. We're out there at community events. We're out here seeing a lemonade stand in one of our neighborhoods, and we're out there buying lemonade off the mm-hmm. children, and, mm-hmm. and they're wanting to take pictures with us, and they're posting that on Facebook and Instagram and all these social media sites. And I think that's a phenomenal look for our police department, because future applicants, as they're doing their research, they might say, okay, they're community engaged. That's fun. I'm not constantly out there battling, unfortunately, like the big cities like New York, Philadelphia, Los Angeles. This is a nice township, and for the most part, even in my close 6 years experience in Lower Makefield, the residents of our township have really taken a liking to us. We're out there on the streets, they're thanking us, they're seeing what we do on the daily, and I think we're a very one of the police departments within Bucks County that is now doing it right with community policing, social media engagement, and how we operate on the daily. And I think, again, applicants are going to see this is a very favorable spot to work over maybe one of the bigger townships within Bucks County or Montgomery County or even Chester County.
And yesterday was one of those days, which I do from time to time. I came in full duty gear, and I rode with a couple of the guys from C Squad. And girls from C-Squad, and, you know, just to see how we're doing it here. And I couldn't be more impressed with the way that our officers look for, and I know this is not unique to Lower Makefield PD, right? It's going on across Bucks County, but I was so impressed yesterday to see what I've seen since April 1st, which is we look for non-conventional ways to meet people, right? Mm-hmm. When people call the police, as you know, you've responded on so many of these, they're having the worst day in their life. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, the birds are chirping and the yep. sun is out. Let me call the police.
Let me get them here. Yep.
So it's just so important that young officers like yourself recognize that answering the calls is great and it helps, but it's not enough.
Yep.
If we're going to establish that trust, it's got to be done when we're in between those calls, right? When we can chat with people at a coffee shop, or we can see people on the street, or stop by a sporting event, or you know what I mean? All the things that you and the rest of your colleagues do each and every day. So, yeah, I do think that helps with our engagement, and that's been going well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, it can't just be about the calls for service, answering a radio dispatch call. There has to be that in between. There's time in between these calls where we should be out and meeting, like you said, these people that didn't necessarily call us. It's people that are just out in the community, mm-hmm. even like stopping to say hi, waving, going to these events. And that's important, because at that point, they're not in crisis. They're not in distress. They're just out and about doing their day. And hey, look at this. A police officer, just waved to me. Or hey, police officer just came by, said hello. Hey, a police officer just bought some lemonade off my children. And that's, like you said, that's important, because we want to get people not just on their bad days, we have to get them on their good days too, and say, hey, you know, how are you? And I think, again, going back to the community service and just being out and about, and when we're not called, that's important. And you brought that to Lower Makefield, which for the most part, a lot of our officers, they're they're liking this transitional period.
It just makes our job so much easier when the people respect us as people and not as police officers, as you mentioned.
They do. And, hey, listen, too, if you look at it in the long run, some of these people that we engage with could be our future witnesses. They could be somebody that we rely on for information for a job. So us, if we have a positive interaction with them, could help us in the future with certain calls,
yeah, trust,
you know, maybe to break
investment.
A case.
Yep. Yep. It's two ways, and it's an investment. Why don't we take our final break here? When we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit more about your pool career.
All right, let's do it.
Capital Health's primary care network continues to grow, bringing its extensive option of locations to your neighborhood. Whether you're scheduling a wellness checkup or not feeling well, advanced medicine starts with a Capital Health primary care doctor at locations near you in Mercer, Bucks, and Burlington counties. To find a Capital Health primary care location that's convenient for you, visit capitalmedicalgroup.org. That's capitalmedicalgroup.org.
With over 7,200 square feet of 200 brewers in stock at all times, Pat Theon Beverages now features five different flavors of their favorite slushy cocktails. You can also purchase all your wine, liquor, and other fine spirits right next door. Visit us on Facebook or online at pattheonbeverages.com for upcoming events and samples from your favorite brewery or local food vendor.
Insurance can be very confusing and costly. That's why it's very important to choose the right insurance agency. Nottingham Insurance in Yardley and Hamilton is a fourth-generation family-owned insurance agency with over 100 years of experience. They'll find the best policy for maximum protection at the best price. Homeowners, business, life, auto, even flood insurance. Peter Toft at Nottingham Insurance will make getting your policies, including flood insurance, an easy and affordable process. Nottingham Insurance in Yardley and Hamilton. Visit nottinghaminsurance.com or call Peter Toft directly at 215-493-1996, extension 214. That's 215-493-1996. Extension 214.
We now return to Bucks Blue with Lower Makefield Police Chief Joe Kelly, brought to you by Jammer Doors.
And welcome back to Bucks Blue for our final segment in August of 2025. We are in studio with Steve Markle, a Lower Makefield Township police officer and professional pool trick shot player. On WBCB, 1490 AM, 107.3 FM in Levittown, Pennsylvania. And, Steve, we were talking a little bit about your police career and some of the things that make policing so important right now in 2025, but I want to shift gears back to your pool side of the house. You're ranked ninth by the World Pool Association and first by the Billard Congress of Association. What did it take for you to, and I know we alluded to it a little earlier, but if you could expand on how much preparation it takes to be that competitive when this is not your full-time job?
So it takes a lot of repetition, trial by error, and patience. So the patience part I'm going to highlight on with police work and pool. So I started my career, again, part-time, and once I started in the police academy in 2016, I took a break from shooting pool from 2006 on the Pro Tour. From 2016 all the way up until 2022, I had a break. So between that break, I went to the police academy. I was hired by Solbury Township, Bristol Borough, and then Lower Makefield Township. As a police officer, I learned how to slow things down and have patience. And overall, that helped my game as a pool player because a lot of the time prior to taking my break, I rush shots. And with trick shots, it's all about slowing it down, figuring out, okay, why I miss a shot, because, you know, on the Pro Tour, you only have three attempts at the shot.
Okay.
It's a matter of slowing it down, trying to figure out why I miss a shot, and coming back to the pool table and making the shot. So a lot of times before I left, I rushed. I rushed things. I didn't slow it down. So police work taught me how to have patience and slow down. Even if we look at it on priority calls, it's best as a police officer to not rush in. It's good to slow things down. So that's how I'm able to put kind of the pool trick shots and the police side of my life together. Because when I came back on the Pro Tour back in 2022, I came back a more patient and a smarter player. I slowed things down. And since I've been back, I've won two titles, 2023 U.S. Nationals, and then I just recently won the 2025 Masters. But between that, I was finishing second, third, fourth. I was always up there with the on the podium, pretty much, just because I'm more patient and I'm a smarter player because of police work.
And those are all excellent points, especially about the patience. I mean, there's very few things we need to rush into. Tell me about that first big win, the one that might have catapulted you into this being a household name in this sport.
I actually couldn't believe it. It was 2023, and it was the U.S. Nationals, and that was only my second tournament back. So to win that event in my second tournament back, where I'm lucky to even make playoffs at that point, I saw that as an eye-opener, and even players on the tour are like, okay, he's back, but he came back stronger. So that was a huge turning point in my career. I mean, even before I had my break, 2016 and prior, I was pretty successful. I was on ESPN for the World Cup of Trick Shots. I was on Team USA there, and I was a silver medalist. So I had success early on, but I think the big moment came after I came back, because I'm on top of my game right now. I'm better than ever, and I'm not to pat myself on the back. I'm one of the best players in the world at what I do. And every day it's fun. I enjoy it. You know.
So if I'm one of those, you must know your competitors pretty well, right? You're always.
Yes. Oh yeah.
So they see you coming back from your hiatus, and
yep.
And then they see you win. They're like, "Oh, it's great to have Steve back, huh?"
Yep. Oh yeah. Yeah, it's another one that they have to try and get through in the playoffs.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. I thought he was out of here.
Especially
yeah.
head-to-head format. You have to do your homework with pool trick shots.
Okay.
People look at it like, okay, yeah, it's pool trick shots, but people don't realize behind the scenes what goes into it. So it's almost like when you know your opponent, like I'm going to use Ryan Howard as an example. Back in the day, he could never hit the slider into the dirt going away from him. That was always the strikeout pitch for pitchers. So pitchers knew, okay, Ryan Howard, when he has two strikes on him, slider in the dirt, they would throw it to him. You have to know your opponent. Okay, maybe he's weakness on drawing the cue ball. Maybe he has a weakness for curving, which is the Massé shot. You have to know your opponent. You have to do your homework. And that's one of my keys to success. Not only making my own shots and coming, but coming up with a good game plan.
So excuse my ignorance on this, but just so I get a little bit more clarity on it. Does this work like when you're in one of these competitions? Does it work like in basketball when you're playing hot, where you do a trick, you pick a trick, and then somebody has to follow you and vice versa?
So the non-playoffs, so you have to get into the playoffs. It's a 120 shot program.
Okay.
So it's the non-playoff shots are 120 shots, but you have to pick 40 of those. But you have to pick the shots that you know you're
going
to make within first,
okay,
second, or third attempt. So they take the top 12 scores typically, or a smaller event, they'll take the top 8 and possibly the top 6, depending on the number of players in the tournament. They go into a playoff format. So with that book format, you have any shot that you want within that program,
okay,
120
okay
shots. Now you're head-to-head against
that. So that's opponent. Where the knowledge of your opponent comes in
yep
strong.
In
okay
playoffs, when you're head-to-head against a certain opponent.
So tell me, and this has always fascinated me, not just for what you do, but for anyone who represents Team USA in any discipline whatsoever, what's it like to represent our country and play on Team USA?
That was fun. That unfortunately they don't do that event on ESPN anymore. But not to put too much out there, we're looking to bring that plus more coverage back. Another player and I are working on within Trick Shots. We're working on a different format for TV. And it might start next year at the World Championship in Philadelphia, but let's hope all that works out. But to answer your question, there, it's the big stage. That was always the Super Bowl for us for Trick Shots, because you show up. There's ESPN logos everywhere. There's cameras everywhere. There's crew everywhere, and that's fun to represent the United States, because I was one of four players that year to be selected to represent the United States. We wore shirts that were the American flag, and it just felt good representing the country, even, you know, in pool trick shots. It makes you feel like, all right, I made it. This is, you know, this is it right here. This is what all the hard work, you know, was for. So it was huge, huge.
And your trick shot videos have been seen by over 75 million views, I read.
So at this point, I recalculated, it's now over 100 million views. So I had a few videos recently go viral in Africa. So the one view, the one video alone has like 12 or 13 million views. The other one has like 15 million views. So we're climbing pretty quick because of some recent trick shot videos going viral.
So tell me, and again, this is out of interest and not knowing your discipline, but how long can someone do this? Is this like golf where you can go?
Yeah, you can go decades. Yeah, as long as the interest is there. Okay. Yeah, as long as the interest is there, your health's there, you're mentally there, you can go as long as you want. We have some young players that are, I believe the youngest player that we had at last year's World Championship, he was a 21-year-old. He was probably our youngest competitor recently. Then we have players all the way up until their 70s. So it really depends on the person, what you're looking to do with it, how you're doing with it. Because with this, some people take it as a hobby.
Okay.
And some people take it as maybe a side hustle. For me, at this point, it's a side job. I do make money off a pool, which is awesome. So it really depends on the person, how deep they're looking to do it, how successful they are, and what they want to do with it.
Obviously, your Lower Mayfield Township PD family is very, very proud of you, right?
Oh, yeah.
Your accomplishments, I mean, we think it's cool that you play pool. What's it like on the other side that they know you're a cop? Is that like kind of...
They always joke around. They say, oh, well, you know, you're a better pool player than cop. But, I'm a pretty good pool player, so I take it and I laugh. And they're great with it, and I think they think it's cool. Again, they always say, oh, when you quit in Lower Mayfield to do the pool stuff? I'm like, never, never. But they're pretty behind the scenes. They're awesome. They're very supportive, and I like that. You know, I like being on a squad where they're supportive, asking how I'm doing, what's next. Because, again, in my email, I never know what's going to come up. So I might have something to be like, well, you know, I'm going for a Guinness World Record. Or, hey, I'm going to, I'm getting flown out here to do a show for this company. Just, you never know. So they're always asking what's next.
But I think that helps our profession as well, because just as you and I agreed on before, people see police officers as humans. That helps all of us.
Oh, yeah.
So all of these people you're competing against with, all these people in your discipline, in your craft, the media people, the supporting roles, your sponsors, they all see you as a regular guy. They know you're a police officer. That's gotta help our profession.
It does. It does, especially with opportunities like this on WBCB. Just come and tell my story, whether it's WBCB or one of the big, you know, national networks that's highlighting me. It puts us out there as, oh, wow, there's a police officer that's actually a professional pool player. So for the most part, I think it goes pretty well.
Okay.
That I'm a police officer, because it's, wow, we're not just highlighting a professional pool trick shot player. We're also highlighting a police officer, too.
Yes.
It's very engaging for the viewer or the listener.
I think it pays dividends.
Absolutely.
When you first started getting into this, was there an idol of yours that was doing this before you?
So one of my idols was a player named Eric Yao. He's actually he owns his own practice in Tennessee.
Okay.
So he's a lawyer. He was a pool player and a lawyer. So he was the pool playing lawyer, just as I'm the pool playing cop. So he was always my idol when I was first doing it back in the early 2000s. And then once I got on the pro tour in 2008, he was still competing at the time, and he really helped me. I was always reaching out for him for advice, how to do shots, and anything I can pick his brain on. I was like a sponge just absorbing from Eric Yao. And at the time, he was the guy. He was one of the guys to beat. So he was my early on idols in this career.
And you still stay in touch with him, I imagine?
It's been a while. He no longer competes, but I probably should shoot him a text or a Facebook message sometime soon, because, again, he helped me out a lot throughout the years.
All right, now be patient with both me and the listeners. Tell me about your favorite trick shot.
So I do,
and it's hard to do over radio, right?
I can explain it.
Okay,
this is a pretty easy one to explain. Instead of explaining a shot where I'm making 7-8 balls at once and trying to explain, okay, this is going in the corner pocket, this is going in the side pocket. In the meantime, I'm jumping this pool ball. So one of the shots I became known for, I call it the man's best friend shot.
Okay,
so it started with my dog growing up, Coco. He was a 90-pound chocolate lab. I would put him on the
pool
table.
Sounds like Coco ate well.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So I would put him on the pool table, and I would actually jump the ball over him. And I would jump the pool ball. It would go over him without hitting him. And it would land back on the table, hit a ball in, and make it. And I called it the man's best friend shot. And I still continue to do it with my over 90-pound golden retriever, Duke. So I'll put him on the pool table, and I'll jump the ball over him. I'll hit, like, three rows around him. I'll curve the ball around him. He's great. He stays. You know, he stays. So that's probably my favorite shot that I, again, call the man's best friend shot.
And none of your competitors are listening, I hope. So what's your weakness on the pool table?
Let's see here. So I'm going to say it's – man. I mean, I'm trying to think because anytime there's a weakness, I always work on it. If I know, okay, I got beat in this tournament on this type of shot, I'm going to go back and I'm going to do that shot 100 times until I learn it. So, I mean, a lot of it was, it's called 2-millimeter stroke shots. That's where you have the white ball, the cue ball, and the object ball, the other ball, within two millimeters of each other. So you have to hit into that ball 2 millimeters, and you have to draw it back. Draw means backspin. And it has to do, maybe hit two rows and then hit a rack, making another ball, or go three rows and hit a pull cue and make another ball. So that was a weakness because it's such a unique and hard stroke. Stroke meaning the way you hit that cue ball. It's not a normal stroke, so it's something you really have.